You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Land Grant Holy Land's I-70 Football Show, where we discuss the entire Big Ten from Rutgers to Ohio State. You can catch us every Monday breaking down the major games, storylines, and previewing the next week's slate. If you love the Big Ten, pack a bag, jump in the car, and enjoy the ride. As always, I'm your host, Jordan, and I'm here not only with my typical co-host, but also the birthday boy,
Dante. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 28 years old today.
I'm glad you said it, because I was going to call you 30.
What in the world? Why does everybody keep calling me 30? I don't understand.
You up there. You're getting close.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's two trips around the sun, my boy. it's just two of them.
Oh, my God, bro. Yeah, I mean, we almost there, but like...
Why you had to throw the we in there?
Oh, you thought you was going to be fucking you right behind my guy. He thought he was going to beat the allegations. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was going to beat the charge. Now I'm an accessory to almost being 30.
Yep. Shouldn't have never said nothing. Birthday boy, haven't done a thing all day, but take a nap for real.
Which, I mean, the people on here don't know you, but that is the most Dante thing possible.
It really is. Also, happy Mother's Day to all the Big Ten mothers out there.
Yes. I don't know if any mothers listen to the podcast. If you do, shout out. We love that. But, you know, make sure y'all are, this is the day after, so I hope that y'all treated your mothers. I hope that y'all treated your mothers well, did something, right. Bought him a gift, made him feel appreciated, all that good stuff.
I do know my mother still listens, so pretty sure some mothers are still listening.
What's up, Dante's mom? nice little shout out.
Shout out.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah, well, you know. I'm sure they're out there. Someone's probably listening with somebody and like, oh, look, we got a shout out. So
listen to that, you know. So happy Mother's Day from us to you. Mm-hmm. Happy Mother's Day to all the people whose son is about to buy them a house because they just made it to the NFL.
you know, especially after all the his mother, you know, had to work 8 jobs so he could play football. Yeah. So, you know, we all know that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, of course. That is, you know, I hate the, we've talked about it, I hate the trauma reporting, but that is one of my favorite things about, like, these players finally getting money, because most of them do something. Like,
they usually do a little something.
Yeah. So what is your, this is, I don't know, this is a weird question, but I'm going to ask it regardless. What is your favorite, like, thing? Is it the buying the mom a house? Or is it the buying the dad a car? Because like the mama house is great, but like the dads be tripping. Like they be like they be trying to act tough. Like mom breaks down instantly, but like, the dads be trying to act tough. They be like,
"Just mom." No, I think the best ones are the ones that give like the really really aggressive dap hug when they get drafted. Like, you're so happy, it's aggressive as hell.
About to rip the shoulder off. Like, oh, right. It's me.
This I created this. I did.
Okay. So I don't remember what player it was. But, you know, we talked about, like, the draft show. And, like, that one uncle that's going to be asking for money. There was a player. I can't think of who it was. But the video was circling around. There was a player who got drafted. And all you heard, the video was like a minute and a half. All you heard was from one uncle who was way too close to be an uncle, in my opinion. All he kept saying is, nephew. I don't know why I didn't send that to you. I said, yep, that's the one.
that's the uncle. He about to ask for some.
And it's gonna start just like that. Hey, nephew.
Man. Congratulations, man. Yeah. So, let me hold something. No, they already been asking for money because they've been getting able to get paid this year. So he already
true.
He was about to double up whatever he was asking for.
He trying to get on the payroll, boy. I'm telling you.
But to answer your question. Because this is hilarious, because I think it's funny, but like, I'm going to get my mom a house and get my dad a car. First, if you're talking to both, usually, because a lot of them, their parents are like still together, you got your parents a house. So it's like, why are you singling out your mama if your parents are still together? I think that's funny.
That's mom's house.
I mean, I guess that's fair.
He said that's mom's house. Dad's around.
Dad's around.
I mean, there are definitely, you know, obviously there are some where the dads aren't around, but like, yeah.
I think my favorite might be, I think it's the dad's the car, because I'm already expecting you to get your mama a house. Most people do that when they get money. I just think it's funny to get your dad a car.
Yeah,
it's like doing the 16th birthday thing for him, like. I don't know. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. One thing that's also funny about that is, why does every older black man want a pickup truck?
Or do they not want a pickup truck
and they just don't know their dad and bought him a pickup truck?
I want
a pickup truck now. I don't want a pickup truck when I'm 60, because I'm not helping nobody move. I'm not doing that. when I'm 60, like, give me like a Camaro, give me a Lamborghini, give me like a Range. Yeah. I don't want a pickup truck. You can buy
me a retired man's car. Like,
I got a bad knee and I got to get up in this pickup truck, bro. Leave me alone.
Because I know that like pickup trucks are really practical. And like, you can do a lot.
Twist my ankle when I hop down.
Right, but like, especially now, you gonna give me a pickup truck, son? You better give me the gas money for it. Cause
is this your bill? Like, what are you talking about here?
It's gonna have to be, cause bro, you gave me one of the most expensive things in the world right now.
Yeah, go ahead and get a BP credit card. I'll put gas on that, and you pay for it
easily. Easily, we'll get returns on stuff and little discounts on gas. It'll drop it down 10 cents eventually.
Eventually. Yeah.
I think it takes like 12 fill-ups before you can. Gas so expensive, y'all. It's really ridiculous. Oh, man. Goodbye. I saw $4 the other day.
Oh, it's
like $4.08,
bro. Oh, I saw $4.15. It was in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
he said, oh, yeah. So it was in Cleveland, yeah.
Oh, good God.
No, I love the mama house, But like you said, like my moms act the same way. They always fall out. Somebody's mm-hmm. picking her up. I like the dad because dads have different reactions. Especially, I really love the tough dad buying a car because he really trying not to cry.
Right.
Like, he's really trying not. It's like, it's okay, bro. You could cry. He's really
trying. Right, like, bro. I know you really excited and happy.
You did not buy me a car, man. Like, this is my car. And then he starts being a dad, so he doesn't cry. Like, oh yeah, what year is it? How many miles it got? Like, if you don't just enjoy your car, how much you pay for it? Like, if you don't enjoy your car,
how many miles to the gallon? So what am I doing with this?
It's like, bro, if you don't just shed them three tears, go for a test drive.
Like, if you don't hug that boy and cry, like it's cool, yeah, bro. It's okay. That's why I know if I had got drafted and got my dad a car, man, it would have been ridiculous. He would have saw deep voice crying, like, oh my God. I'm so proud of you, son. Like, it is nothing wrong with that. I do. That's funny. Or, this is random. It's like really off topic real quick. Did you see the video? It was at the Combine. And it was Deion Sanders, and I forgot who was talking first, but he was like, you ever seen a brother cover a brother in the NFL? And Deion Sanders was like, what do you mean, black people? And he was like, Deion. It's like, that is not what I meant, because I think he actually meant siblings covering each other. He was like, Deion Sanders.
Bro, Deion is funny. I cannot wait until Deion is like, I'm like, I love him at Jackson State, but like, he's not going to stay there. I can't wait till he's at like Florida State. Yeah. Yeah.
You sure?
Deion's
going I think he might stay for a while.
Nah, he's not. I think he's at the point where he's not going to accept any job, where like last year, the year before, he was really just trying to get to the Power Five. Like he interviewed for the Arkansas job. Like, I think he was just, he was just trying to get into the Power Five. Now that JSU, I think, has done so much, like, has committed so much to him and he's changed so much, I don't think he goes to any job, but he's not going to Nebraska. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But I mean, I wouldn't go anywhere.
A job he's willing to go to will offer in the next year or so. Florida State, Georgia Tech, Georgia Southern, like, some of those schools, like, they're going to open up. I mean, he was interviewed for the TCU, Texas Tech, one of those jobs.
They gave it to
a guy who was a high school football coach in Texas previously. And that's like, you know, that's gold in Texas because he knows everyone. And it's like, when you're trying to make your school better, having an old high school football coach that knows all the coaches, like, they're going to kill it in recruiting because all the kids that like aren't going to the big schools that are good, the coaches are going to be like, hey. Like, we used to coach together? Come get this guy. So that makes sense. So yeah, I don't think he's gonna be there long.
I hope he stays there for a bit. I think what he's done for HBCU schools in football has been really really good for them. And I think leaving, so if he leaves very soon, could be a hindrance than more than.
Then it's like, it's just a stepping stone. I agree 100%. I think he's done a lot, and he's done a lot of things that people won't attribute to him. Like LeBron with Florida A&M and his, like, he's starting his brand, which first of all, didn't get the rollout it should have gotten because it didn't get the rollout that Jordan got when he picked up Michigan. And
I think that's because they were losers this year. So it's kind of hard to be like, him and the Lakers.
Was that this year or last year that happened? Was it this basketball season that happened?
That they were terrible, or that they started his
brand, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Either way, I think, like, LeBron, not saying LeBron would have never done it, but, like, he wasn't doing that.
Nah.
Before it,
which is the weird. Basketball player, think he would have a while. He would have did it because of Chris Paul. Because Chris Paul loves up in.
I was just going to say that the only NFL player that, except one that went to HBCU, that was really, really uplifting HBCUs was Chris Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he, what is it? Always do All Star break, he wears something.
Yep.
HBCU every day. Yeah.
And then, didn't he do it in the playoffs last year?
Yeah.
With Phoenix?
I think it was in the finals. Yeah. I think he wore something different every game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was fire. So
yeah, that was dope. It was some schools I had never heard of.
Yeah. The other thing that, and it's not going to work with everyone, but the other thing that I like that HBCUs are doing is they're getting former NFL players, which not every former NFL player is a good coach, right?
No,
but
no, not at all.
It's providing a profile and it's providing a chance for the ones who are good coaches. Like right. Eddie George, the Ohio State running back, is at, where is he at? Tennessee State, I think. I think Eddie George is at Tennessee State.
That's not a bad pickup if he's a decent coach.
Yeah, and I actually think he was there before primetime. He just doesn't have primetimes, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But
I'm actually surprised primetime's a good coach, to tell you the truth. Because he's a really good player. So it's
been a lot of really good players are not good coaches.
Awful coaches in any sport, really. So yeah, I was very surprised.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, so we talked about Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne is the wide receivers coach for the Colts. Now, Reggie has the personality. I think he'd be a good coach. But the GM was just talking. It was like, he just constantly reminded Reggie, like, listen, they are not you. You are a Hall of Fame type receiver. Even though you have the skills, the technique, the temperament to coach, you got to remember that they're not you. You can't be mad at them if they don't pick up the drill in 5 reps when you would got it in 5 reps. They may need 20. Like, you're insane, Reggie. Like, you're one of those guys.
And even with that, I still think Reggie Wayne was like a perfect person to be a coach. Like, he just seemed like he gave off coach vibes. There's certain players I watch, like Ryan Shazier, even before he got hurt, he gave off coach vibes. Yes. So
it's probably gonna be with the Steelers, but like
I think he's a linebackers coach for them.
Yeah, I would give anything for him to come back to Ohio State.
Oh, that would be smart. That would have been really smart, especially since they had a lot of recruiters.
Yeah. He'd be an amazing recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's young enough, like, he's our generation of player. Yeah. So, like, he's young enough that the players now should still know his name. Yeah, you know, like, with some of the, like Reggie.
And then he had such,
So he's different. Mm-hmm. But, like, players Reggie's age, if he went back to college, the kids nowadays may not know him.
True. I mean, which is really sad because which is wild to me, because I feel like if you really do want to be great or at least make it to the NFL, you should know your history. I think, but I look at that in any aspect, like if you're a rapper or whatever, like, you should know your history. If I throw somebody at you and you go, oh, I don't know who that is, you ain't gonna be nothing.
What are you doing?
You ain't doing enough for me. You ain't doing enough research. So, like, especially with Ryan, he was one of those cover type of linebackers, and that was a big problem last year for Ohio State, was covering. So that would have been smart. That would have been real smart. I didn't even think about that.
Just because he got his start in the NFL, he'll probably stay in the NFL. And probably. I see him, you know, if he really puts in the work and things like that, because he's really smart. I see him being a DC somewhere.
He might become a DC for us, and then eventually take my Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean that'd be dope.
It's a seamless transition in that way.
Yeah, and he's young enough that by the time Mike Tomlin would want to step up, he could still be there.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Yep.
Like,
even though Mike Tomlin is young himself,
I know, but it's like he's like. I mean, is Shazier even 30?
No, not even a little bit. I think,
because he should be our age. Because he was playing when we were in college, right?
Ryan Shazier is 29, so he'll be 30.
Okay,
he'll be 30. So,
He was drafted in 2014. So we were both in college, but he was a little bit older. Yeah, okay. So he's 29. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that would be how old is Mike Tomlin? I think Mike Tomlin's not even 50 yet. I might be wrong.
He's like 47, I'm going to guess.
50. Literally turned it this year.
Yeah, it's 50?
Okay. Yeah, he just turned 50 this year.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you know, Mike Tomlin wanted to give another 15 years. Shazier would only be 45. That's young for a head coach. Obviously, he, you know, he'd have to work his way up, linebackers coach, DC, that kind of stuff. But like, he could stay around for that easily.
Yeah, he could, yeah. Yeah.
So,
And even at what, another 65, Mike Tomlin could still coach at 65.
I don't know. He could.
He would.
I don't know.
I don't think he would.
Yeah, that's what I was, that's exactly what I was going to say. I don't know if I can see Mike Tomlin as a 65-year-old. Like,
no.
Nah, if I was a coach and I was making millions, I'm done at like 55. And like, I would like, you know, maybe I'd write a book, maybe I'd do a little bit of media stuff. I would need something with a better schedule. I'm not putting like,
it is a strenuous job, especially for that age.
If you live to be 80 and you retire at 50, 65, you only have 15 more years left. And mm-hmm. so normal people, sometimes you have to do that. But you're not normal. You're a multimillionaire. Like, yeah. No, I want to live my life, bro. I'm not trying to worry. Like, and I love football. I get it. You love the grind, blase, blase, whatever, whatever, whatever. Ain't no way. Like, yeah. Nick Saban, I could never be Nick Saban. I'd have been
going to 20 wild. Years he insane to still be coaching. It's really just the love of the game. Because I even think Coach K for Duke,
way too long.
Just a human being, in my opinion.
It's like, I get the love of the game, I get all that, but you don't need that job. And you're like, also, just how I think about it, and I think about it this way because I was going into coaching, so I had to think about it. Not that I would have been those guys, but just mm-hmm. thinking about the hours and the grunt work and that kind of stuff, I feel like your family deserves it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, all those hours, like, once you get to a certain point, like, 50, 55, you still have a lot of time left with your family.
Oh, yeah. Even at 70, 60, 65, like, you still have.
But, like, you're coaching till you're 70. I just feel like your family deserves, because they've made so many sacrifices. Your wife, husband, who your significant other, whoever, was essentially a stay-at-home spouse your entire mm-hmm. career, both as a coach and a player. And you're going to go,
They definitely have nannies and stuff. I do find that. I do think people forget that part. Like, they got nannies and stuff.
So they have help, but still, mm-hmm. like, you're not at baseball games. You're not at dance recitals. Yeah. You're missing birthday parties and all this other kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
So, all right. I don't even know how we got into all of that, but, you know.
His coaching. His coaching record is astounding. 64% for the regular season. 62% for the career.
That's
63%. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to have our final draft show, and where we talk about the draft. We're not even talking about this draft. We're going to talk about one of the way too early mock drafts, and just really as a primer for some players to think about, to watch for next year, right? Like, mock drafts mean nothing outside of identifying some players to watch for next year, in my opinion. And then we're going to get into some players we're excited to, just kind of following that trend. And then we're going to answer some questions, some things that maybe we should get an answer to in the next couple of weeks, and some things that we may not get answers to for like a year or so. So a real heavy focus on next year, next season, players, draft, that kind of stuff. So Dane Brugler, who, if you don't know who he is a draft whatever. I don't like calling him guru because no one's really a draft guru. But like, he's basically, if there is a draft guru, it'd be him. He works for The Athletic. He creates this thing called The Beast, where he where he does scouting reports for every draft eligible player. Essentially, he gets like through to like 2,000 players.
Oh, good God. That man's job's crazy.
Yeah. And that's like the only thing he does. So like, now that the draft is over, he's starting the one he'll probably take a couple weeks off and he'll start the one for next year. He updates it throughout the year, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, once it gets too closer to the draft, he starts doing mock drafts and things like that. But his day-to-day job, 365, is really just scouting reports of players, building, they call it the beast, like building this thing. So he knows a lot about players. He's one of the few guys like that I respect doing draft stuff, especially because like, it's not about narrative. Like, ESPN's draft coverage is all about narrative, and that's annoying. So either way, he put out a way too early mock draft, and so I was reading it, and it had some Big Ten players in it. Some people kind of surprised me, some didn't, and I was like, hey, let's talk about it, because again, it just gives some names to consider going into next year. So his number one pick, which I agree
with. Like, number one overall?
Yeah. And by the way, he did this based on Super Bowl odds. So the number one pick, and this is Houston, who needs a quarterback. It's not Jacksonville, who you thought. So
I forgot it was Houston.
Yeah, I agree with this depending on who gets the pick. But yeah, the number one pick in his draft based on current Super Bowl odds is C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. The number five pick is Will Levis, who we're going to talk about because I understand he's not in the Big Ten anymore, but he should be. Number eight is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, wide receiver from Ohio State. Number 13 is Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle from Ohio State. Number 16 is Zach Harrison, defensive end from Ohio State. I disagree with this one, but I'll explain why he has them in there. Number 18 is Peter Skronicki, who was an offensive guard slash tackle for Northwestern. And then number 20, he has Joey Porter Jr., who is a cornerback from Penn State.
Mm-hmm. I think Zach Harrison, or I'm sorry, Paris Johnson Jr. might be a little earlier because tackles get picked up quickly, especially if he's a good one. Because that left side, everybody wants that blind side protected. So,
100%. So, I don't remember if there were other tackles taken, honestly. Mm-hmm. He has three quarterbacks in like the top 12 or something. Four quarterbacks in like the top 10 or 12, something like that.
Is that many teams going to need a quarterback?
There's a lot of teams that passed.
Your team might need one next year.
We're not going to be that early, though. So,
but you never know. You might trade up. You might trade up.
True. So, let's see. Houston needs one. The Giants will probably be ready to move on from their guy. The Lions. Seattle needs a quarterback now. That's four teams right there. Yeah. Is Miami ready to move on from Tua at that point? That'll be 3-4 years into his career.
Well, and you know what? That's weird because that's not going to be fair because Tua's going to end up being a scapegoat even though they fired their coach that had them winning.
Yep.
So that's going to be crazy. That's going to be crazy for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so that's five teams right there. Mm-hmm. Are the Vikings going to be looking for one to get out of Kirk Cousins in the future contract?
Oh, my God, they need to. They do need to draft his backup at some point or his replacement. Yep. Yeah. Again, like I said, I think the Colts are going to need a quarterback because I don't know how long Matt Ryan's going to stay in the league. Like,
if it's worth it, they found their guy. It would make sense to get a guy and sit Atlanta.
Yes.
Unless we believe unless we believe that their third or fourth round picks are going to do it and they're going to keep that, they may need a quarterback. So, there's a lot of teams that may need quarterbacks.
Yeah, I didn't even think. Yeah. The Commanders might need somebody because you never know what's the name's going to be.
I don't think they're smart enough for that. They just traded all that for him. They're going to keep
him. I mean, you're right. They're not smart enough, but they will be a team that probably needs to draft a quarterback. And and you already said the Giants. So, Maybe even New Orleans.
I agree with you, but I'm not going to say that because I'm a big Jameis fan, and I think if someone really trusts in Jameis, he can be better than the Tannehill, Kirk Cousins. Like he could be so
easily. He already showed that he was better.
Yeah, I do agree that the Saints may go that route, even though they shouldn't. If Jameis was I'm not even going to get into that.
You think the Raiders might go after a quarterback if Derek Carr with all those weapons don't do much?
That's a good question.
Because right now they're the toughest division in the league. So it's almost there's an excuse there in a way, but they're one of the reasons why that's the toughest division in the league right now.
Yeah. The other thing with that though is Devontae Adams largely went there because of Derek Carr.
Derek Carr, yeah.
And so it's like if you replace him, what happens with Devontae Adams?
Who gave? Well, he got Devontae Adams for a minute.
Yeah,
They re-signed his contract.
But are you ready to make him angry that soon?
You got a point. You got a point.
I would say no.
Okay.
I think Derek Carr has done enough.
I do too. I think Derek Carr gets a really, really bad rep that shouldn't be that bad.
I think. But, I think he's set. Like, I don't know where he fits in the tiers of quarterback, but I think he separated himself from like the Jimmy G, Cousins, Tannehill. I don't like. I think there's another level where he's at. Like,
yeah, he's like mid, but he's above mid. To me, like, you could win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. I was just wondering, because I know he's had some rough spots, and I know a lot of people have been asking for him to be replaced over his career. So that's why I asked that. I was like,
I think a lot of people that's asked for him to be replaced don't know football.
No, because a lot of the time he's been injured.
Yeah, because the thing with Derek Carr is he is kind of like I'm going to call him a gateway quarterback, which is weird. It's like there's him, and then like the quarterbacks better than him are either all superstars or have superstar potential. Yeah. Not everyone can have a superstar. So it's like you're trying to replace him, but like you can't replace him. Replace him with Mahomes. Like if you can't have the Mahomes tier, I would take Derek Carr any day.
Yeah. Because my thing is like, and I might get slaughtered for saying this. I think Derek Carr is better than Kyler Murray.
100%. Kyler Murray is not a good quarterback, in my opinion.
I think he's a good quarterback. He's just, he don't know how to sustain it for long. He doesn't know how to sustain his success for long. And that's troubling. Because you start off really, really well for first 6-7 games, and then those last 6-7 games, just mediocre to terrible.
I think he's more flashy than good. Mm. I mean, some of his best plays have literally just been like,
I'm going to throw DeAndre it up
down there somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good quarterback play. It's DeAndre down there somewhere. Like, if he didn't, like...
Besides the one play where he got out of, like, three tackles, and then that was impressive, and then he just flung it.
He's an amazing athlete, for sure.
It's the Eli Manning baseball player. It's like the Eli Manning thing. I'm going to throw it up there, and I know somebody's going to get it.
Yeah. I still think he made the wrong decision. Oh, easily. I think it's not too late for him. Retire and go play baseball. You're not happy with the Cardinals. You want a contract that you don't deserve.
Go play baseball. Not even a little bit. Yeah, not even a little bit. And he could go get a contract you don't deserve playing baseball.
Yeah. So where do you want to start? So you agree with Stroud as depending on the team. You think most likely Stroud's going to be the first quarterback taken. So do you want to get into the Will Levis thing or do you want to get into the Zach Harrison thing?
We could do the Will Levis thing because we were talking about him a little bit earlier. So yeah, we can get to that.
So Will Levis, if you don't know, which if you're listening to this, I imagine you do, was the backup quarterback for one or two seasons in Penn State. He backed up, obviously, Sean Clifford, who's been there for 30 years. Will Levis was underutilized. It's just doesn't even sound like the right word. He is a pretty good quarterback. But when Sean Clifford would get injured or he would go into games, Penn State would never throw the ball. They treated him like he was a running back. So they go into the offseason.
So they treated him like, what's the name in New Orleans?
Not Tannehill. What is his name? I hate
that. He got a huge contract and then Sean Payton left.
Whatever his name is, yes. Yeah. The tight end, fullback, running back, quarterback down there. They treated him exactly like him. And it's like, yeah, he can run the ball, but this dude can actually throw. And a lot of I'm not a Penn State fan, but a lot of Penn State fans were like calling for him, things like that. So finally, in the year, which is last year, that they should have named him the starting quarterback. Because you've had 2 or 3 years of Sean Clifford. You know what he is. They named Sean Clifford the starting quarterback. He transfers to Kentucky and has a pretty decent year. I mean, it's not the best year in the world, but it's a pretty decent year. He is what NFL teams want. He's 6'3", 230. Maybe they want him to lose a little bit of weight, but like he's in that mode. I wouldn't either, but he's in that mode. So last year, in his first full season at starting quarterback, he threw for 2,800 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions. And he had a QBR of 76. Only reason I say the QBR is he was in the top 18 in the nation. Yeah. Now, in his next season, right, his senior season, you need those interceptions to fall off.
Yeah, I won 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions type of year.
Yeah, but yeah. You think you're supposed to get better. You think mm-hmm. that he should get better if he's putting in the right work, which is why he's on NFL radar. And on top of that, he's working with an NFL offense. Literally, his last coordinator was in the NFL, left mm-hmm. to go to the NFL, and they hired another guy from the NFL. So he's running an NFL offense. His offensive yeah. coordinator this year, whose name I can't think of, literally was in the NFL last season. So my thing is, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, is you have, even if it doesn't happen, because it's way too early, it's just a name to mention, you have a guy who's being mentioned as the third quarterback taken as a top five pick.
Yep.
And you ran with Sean Clifford.
You know, we all made mistakes, but yeah, it's not a good one.
This happens a decent amount with quarterbacks, and I don't understand it. Like, because you can't tell me that guy was so bad in practice and then just flipped the switch and was good. Like, Jameson Williams, he had a great
year. Well, you know,
he wasn't bad in practice. He was good. He just did, like, I just can't.
Sometimes the change of scenery can boost your play a lot of time.
And I hear that. I just feel like it can't be, like, only that, though. Mm-hmm. Like, Sean Clifford, like, if you look at their seasons last year, and I understand different teams, different circumstances, whatever, Sean Clifford could not have been that much better that you shipped your backup with no backup help, because you didn't have nobody, which is why when he did get injured this year, they didn't have nobody else there. And he has a solid season in the SEC, and it's now on draft radars. Sean Clifford's never going to get drafted.
And you won a bowl game at that, too.
So, I don't know, man. I just feel like this is a long line of, like, back-to-back-to-back bad decisions by Penn State. And when you're coming off two underwhelming years, those decisions seem to matter.
Yeah. And then I'm looking at it, like, when getting the chance to throw, he's hovering around 60. Last year, he completed 66% of his passes. But for 3 years, he's averaging about 66% completion percentage when allowed to throw, which is – I'm not mad at that. Like, so it does make you – it does bring in the question of what they were thinking in Penn State. Because, like, there's no way Sean – unless it was just because Sean Clifford had that chemistry because he had been there for so long. But I you're right. I don't see the decision making behind that. Especially when you had him for so long and he's been mediocre that entire time. I can't be like I love my one thing about coaching, if I was to ever be a coach, it'd be like, let's just see. Cause like I mean I either don't play him and we're terrible and I lose my job, or I play him and we're terrible and I lose my job. So I might as well check everything that I have here to see if it could work or not.
Yeah. I just feel like, I don't know. So Sean Clifford last season had 21 passing touchdowns and 8 interceptions. So maybe it was they felt like Sean Clifford threw less interceptions and they bet on that.
Well, and, that was, I don't know because that was, I felt like that was, one of the things that was wrong with Penn State's offense is that it was cautious.
Yeah. Sean Clifford also only threw 61% completion.
Yeah, so, man, he shot.
That's not good. Nah, that's not good. 21, he had 21 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and he threw 61% completion.
Yeah, I'd still take Will Levis. Almost 3,000 yards passing. You could tell, because what was that, his first year at Kentucky for Will?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, yeah, he can easily turn that to 30, 33 touchdowns, 10 interceptions next year. That was a getting comfortable year.
Yeah, and he had 80 less, a little over 80 less passing attempts than Sean
Clifford. Wow, yeah.
He only had 353 passing attempts.
Well, Sean Clifford's not going to run the ball, whereas Will probably will. And that's another part that you have, that he's a dual threat, and Sean Clifford really isn't. You got me thinking, maybe you're right. Penn State probably did fail. Because, like, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know what was going on in their practices, but that happened.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it can't, like okay, so when Joe Burrow left Ohio State, we knew that Joe Burrow was good.
Yeah.
He just didn't win the job. And that's fine, because the guy who won the job threw for 50 freaking touchdowns and was a first-round pick. Joe Burrow has developed into a better player. That's fine. But at that moment, in those practices, Dwayne Haskins was better. Mm-hmm. In that season, Dwayne Haskins was better.
Yep.
Then Dwayne Haskins went to the NFL, and then the next year, Joe Burrow unlocked a level that, honestly, I don't even think he believed he could get to.
No, because LSU
was a really good quarterback.
Because LSU wasn't even that good Dwayne Haskins' year. Mm. So it was a flip of a switch for Joe Burrow that year. Yeah. And then it just continued to be that now.
Yep. He also had Will Levis also had 376 rushing yards and 9 rushing touchdowns.
So that is 33 total touchdowns, and what he had, how many fumbles that he might have lost? I'm a guess 5.
I don't know if ESPN goes into fumble stats.
It don't look like they do.
Their stats are not that great.
Yeah, they're terrible. I do not like ESPN, really. I don't. But
if you don't want the major stats, do not go to ESPN. Like,
yeah. So I'm a guess. Yeah, they really don't have fumbling to get to one. I'm a guess. I'm gonna throw in 5 to be nice. So yeah, 33 and 18 turnovers
for your first year starting, and you're starting in the SEC. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. That's first round worthy if you wanted to.
So my thing is I just feel like Penn State has had so many options, so many things to, like, you know, so close and yet so far away. And then you look at, like, there have been things talking about how they've drafted and all these players, first round, this, that, and the third. And they're winning 4 games. They're winning 5 games. And it's just like, I believe that James Franklin is a good coach, but has it gotten stale?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Damn, he sacked 22 times? That's crazy.
So I just feel like, I don't know, man. I just feel as if there's something that needs to change there. And maybe he's going to be reinvigorated because – I mean, I don't know why he would be reinvigorated, but, like, maybe he's going to be reinvigorated because, like, USC has filled. Like, maybe he was, you know, really trying to get that USC job, and now he realized he's not getting it, so he's going to, you know, lock back in. But I don't know if I want my coach thinking about other jobs.
Not in the middle of the season, no, not at all.
Like, I don't want it to be like, you know, I'm sorry, I wasn't committed because I was thinking about USC, but I didn't get the job, so I'm here.
I'm here. Yeah, nah, that's nasty behavior. If I could be honest, that's nasty. I'm not mad because, like, of course, I'm gonna watch the season, but Will Levis being probably the number 5 pick, depending on who that could be, could work, because he could end up doing the exact same thing Josh Allen is doing with Buffalo.
Yeah. And in my opinion, he's a Josh Allen type quarterback, same size, weight profile. He can run. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's going to get you some yards. He's going to get you some touchdowns. And as long as he's making smart decisions and things like that, I think Josh Allen is more talented, obviously, right? But he's in that mold. Like, if you're – I hate looking for, like, I need to get me a guy like this. Like, I think that just doesn't work. But if you were looking to get another Josh Allen, I think excite you.
That's what like I was saying earlier. I'm very upset that the Steelers, now that I'm looking at this, they could have waited. They could have waited another year to get – because Will Levis – is Big Ben, but a little shorter? Because I think Big Ben might be 6'4".
6'5", something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
So like, listen,
he got more
to this.
Athleticism than Ben, so.
Yeah. This is the last thing I have to say about Penn State for now, because we're gonna continue to talk about this.
Of course.
NFL draft picks in the last 5 years. Alabama at 48, won a national championship, won their conference. Georgia at 44, won a national championship, won their conference. Mm-hmm. Ohio State at 42. Hasn't won a national championship in the last 5 years.
But has won one.
But they have won one recently. They've won the Big Ten, and they've made the playoffs. LSU won a national championship, you know, made the playoffs. Penn State. What has Penn State done in the last 5 years?
I don't even,
they have the fifth most draft picks in the last 5 years. And what have they done?
So they could develop talent. It just doesn't amount to anything for the team, which is weird. That's really weird.
Here's the very next team. The next team is Michigan, who, in most cases, is in the same level of Penn State. But at least they just made the playoffs and won the Big Ten. So, like, what have you done?
Mm-hmm. And at least with Michigan, Michigan will have a record that's pretty decent, where it's like maybe 3 L's, where Penn State will have 4 or 5. So
hold on. Let me continue just down the list. I'm not going to rate all the teams, but just some of the ones close. Florida is next, is only 3 away from Penn State. They're another team that's failed. Like, just straight up, they're another team that's failed.
Florida been failing for years, though.
But the next team is Oklahoma. Heisman winner, playoffs. They've made the playoffs. I think they failed, too. And they've won. I don't think they failed because I don't think that they should. I don't think they're a chap. I don't think they're on Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, LSU's level.
No.
For the draft picks, they've won their conference and they made the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's fine. Notre Dame made the playoffs. Clemson.
It's been a while since they've done that.
National championship. Notre Dame was just in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Weren't they?
It's at least been in the last 5 years.
You might be right on that.
Yeah, they made it. They made it in the pandemic year because Clemson and Notre Dame made it because Notre Dame was doing the little Clemson thing. Yeah,
I remember.
Was doing the ACC thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Clemson won their conference, made the playoffs. Like, even Washington has been to the playoffs once. I can't remember if it was in the last 5 years, but they've been to the playoffs once.
Yeah, and they're usually pretty good most of the time.
So it's
Washington's
like,
on that list. That's crazy.
Yeah, they've had there. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
What are they, 8?
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 12.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11. Yeah. That's they're right below. Bad. They're right below. They're tied with Clemson. So technically, they're 10. They're tied with Clemson with 23.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm just saying. Penn State has some things to answer to, in my opinion.
No, you've convinced me.
I understand some of it is like, oh, they have to go through Ohio State. That's fine. But, like, you haven't done anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, if you're 11-1 and you lose a close game to Ohio State, and so you're 11-1, 10-2 every single year, and you never make the playoffs because you just always lose to Ohio State, I don't feel like that's failing to me. If Ohio State's making the national championship, right? Like, Georgia, well, no, Georgia's a bad example because they have out-recruited Alabama. But, like, in general, Georgia hasn't really failed for being one step below Alabama. Alabama's a dynasty we'll never see again. But Penn State's won in 4 or 5 games the last couple of years.
Yeah. Now, when Penn State makes a bowl game, they usually win it most of the time.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so hard on them, because I think they should be better than they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Penn fair. State should consistently be the second best team in the Big Ten. I think they're the biggest beneficiary of the Big Ten getting rid of divisions if they ever do it, because there should be multiple Ohio State, Penn State, Big Ten championship games.
Yeah.
And they're not living up to that. And yeah. I think there's no way Penn State's as bad as it was last year if Will Levis is their quarterback. I think they probably
they win that Ohio State game.
I was just gonna say that. They win the Ohio State game, they win the Illinois game.
Yep. Yeah. And now it's a scary game against Michigan.
And you're in a better place.
Yeah. Damn. Because what we both agree with is that Penn State's quarterback was not that good. I definitely agree with you on that. And sometimes that's a coaching decision, because I'm like, sometimes you can't outcoach terrible quarterback play. But if you pick that quarterback to be your quarterback.
Then that's when you had options.
Yeah, that's like, that's a coaching decision. That's bad coaching in a way. So
with
Will Levis, probably, especially if he does something like what he did this year, and I don't even think he throws 13 interceptions playing in the Big Ten. So, because like a lot of them, there was only like two defenses that would make you be like, bro, he might throw an interception, and that was Iowa and maybe Michigan State, because Michigan could rush the quarterback, which make me a bad decision. Yeah. But other than that, it might be eight interceptions instead of 13,
and you know, 3, 4, 5 more touchdowns. So, I don't know, man. I just think, like, I understand you make a decision, and I understand from the couch it's a lot easier to say you can bench your starter. But, like, you have to, like, it's not about ego when you want to win.
Yeah.
And if one guy puts you in a better position to win, you have to go with that guy no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I understand not everyone, you know what I mean? Like, and that's why Michigan's going to be so interesting to me, because do they start Cade McNamara despite the fact that JJ McCarthy is the 5-star and is going to transfer if he doesn't win that job? Like, you have to make those tough decisions on who is best for your program.
And that might be the
I can't believe that they genuinely thought Sean Clifford was the better quarterback. And then the thing with Will Levis is there's no off-field issue. It's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, like, it's character. It's he's a party. It's this, it's that. It's like, no, everything you hear is he's a good dude. Like, he works hard. So,
and you never know. He could have had a really, really good season if they would have believed in him. Because it looks like Kentucky believed in him. He was like, all right, I got to work into it.
Yeah.
At Penn State, he already knew. He already knew everything.
And let's
be honest, all he needed was to have that backup. Like, we believe in you. Go out there. He could have been a Heisman talk, really.
All things equal, who is the better team? Who has the better players? Penn State or Kentucky?
Penn State, by far.
So it's like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? Could you, like, he would have been throwing to Jahan Dotson.
Ah, you right? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think Penn State has some things to answer for. And I think Penn State fans should be very, very upset if Will Levis is a first round pick at quarterback and you had to suffer through 2 extra years of Sean Clifford.
Man. I mean, he was able to pull out LSU win. Well, I know LSU wasn't that good, but, you know, you're Kentucky. So,
you're not supposed to win those games.
Yeah, and then you barely lost to Tennessee. You beat Florida when they were ranked.
So, the last thing before we go on a very late break and then we wrap up the show with just some players we're excited for and things like that. Zach Harrison is predicted as a first-round pick. Zach Harrison is interesting to me. He's going to be an interesting case because he's a 5-star defensive end who hasn't had the production, but he's an above-average run defender, which nobody cares about, so nobody talks about.
pisses me off, though.
The NFL teams care about it, though.
But, yeah, because like that's very important. Because you can have your pass rusher, and then you would need your run stopper.
That's why I love Cameron Hayward. Yeah, I have to remind myself sometimes that he's an above average run defender because I get mad sometimes because he was that 5-star and like everyone thought he was going to be the next, like, you know, we're gonna have Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Zach Harrison, and it didn't work out that way. And we've really needed some pass rush, but I have to remind myself that he's above average player. So most players, you know, that get drafted have pass rush.
Currently, I'm not gonna lie to you, 22 solo tackles is not piquing my interest at all.
Right. Right. So here's the thing, though. And this is, I actually want to read to you. I'm going to read to you what he said, what Dan Brugler said, because I thought it was interesting. And it's just funny how teams look at this. And it's very interesting in the fact that, like, Trayvon Walker had less production and was the number one pick. So this is what he says. based on last season, Harrison isn't yet a first-round prospect because the tape wasn't good enough. But he has near 36-inch arms, 4.5 speed at 6'6 and 265 pounds. He has first-round traits, and if he shows improvement as a pass rusher on 2022, NFL teams will happily draft him in the top 32. And so it's just interesting because he doesn't have the stats. He has, but he's 6'6, 260, and runs a 4.5 with 36-inch arms. So,
he got 4 pass deflections.
So I think it's just going to be interesting to watch him because I think at this point, he's never going to be that guy, pass rusher. But I think he's going to be, I think his ceiling, and maybe not a ceiling, but his mold is Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney is not a good pass rusher.
No.
But if you put him next to a good pass rusher, he's going to get 5 to 8 sacks because he's going to see single teams, and he's going to be a really good run stopper for you.
And if he gets a signature move, if he a spin move or a wraparound, if he gets something, then it'll definitely raise his chances. My thing is that if you can't get to the quarterback, I want more than just 22 solo tackles. I want to see close. I want to see 32, 40, something like that. If you can't get to the quarterback, then I need you somewhere else. I need you showing up somewhere else.
Yeah. And that's fair. And those are all good things to talk about, which is why I think it's interesting that he's in this. And it's going to be very interesting to see what he does because he has all the measurables. He's going to test crazy in the combine. He doesn't need to have the best season. First of all, if he had like a 10 sack season, they'd probably draft him number one.
That's good enough. If he had a 10
sack season, they'd probably draft him number one. And I don't think he's that good.
No. But
he really only needs like five sacks. If he can get 5 sacks this year, that'll show an improvement as a pass rusher. I think he locks himself in as a first round pick. But he's one of those guys.
And like I can see like ESPN is not going to show me quarterback hurries and stuff like that. So that might be that can show more of his tangibles or his intangibles or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do also think like new coaching, because he got a new coach. Coaching on the defensive side, I think that might help him. Like maybe the scheme was weird, and that's why he didn't get as many. So we could see his number skyrocket, or this is who he is, which is still not a bad pick, not a first rounder, but not a bad pick at all.
I think if this is who he is, he'll be a second round pick. Which is fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 6'6", 260, and runs a 4.
Because I think he'll be really good with
Jordan. On the traits.
Like, I think he'll be good with, is it Cameron Jordan?
Yeah, the Saints.
Yeah. He'll be good next to him.
Any team that has a good pass rusher, he'd be good next to Nick Bosa. He'd be good next to Joey Bosa. He'd be good next to Myles Garrett. Like any team that has a guy,
he'll be good in Tennessee next to what's the name? They took him from the Steelers. They took him from us.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, because that might even help his career make a resurgence.
And that's the thing. It's like, so I think he's good. It's going to be interesting to see if he's a first round pick. But that's the one thing, everyone thinks that the NFL is all about production, and it's not. Oh, it's not, because
sometimes
honestly,
it's just about 10
feet. If you gave them like truth serum, I bet you a lot of NFL coaches would say college coaches suck. There are some good ones.
Oh yeah.
There are definitely some good ones, but a lot of NFL guys are just like, a lot of NFL guys are like, you used him wrong. Like, you used him wrong. I'm going to take this 6'6 guy and turn him into a stud, which is how someone like Trayvon Walker gets the number one pick, and he had, like, less than 5 sacks in his entire career.
Yeah. And as soon as he was drafted, they were like, he's not as polished as the next guy that's probably going to get picked. But.
And sometimes they're a little overconfident. And I know I keep mentioning Trayvon Walker. I do not think Zach Harrison is that good or that athletic. I just mention it because he's another guy who didn't have the production.
Right. And the scary thing is that with Walker, I don't know how good his career is going to be because he's in Jacksonville. Now we gotta see how this coaching staff does, but it's Jacksonville. Like, in my entire lifetime, I can only think of like 2 good seasons.
Yeah. So in this mock draft, he has him going 16 to the Eagles.
See, that's not bad.
That would read. The Eagles have good defensive line. Mm-hmm. They would still have – he's getting older, but at least by the time he's drafted, they would still – who's the Eagles? Fletcher Cox.
Yep.
They would have Fletcher Cox for a year or two to, like, teach him how to be a pro. Yep. I think they just traded or drafted for a guy not that long ago. Like, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's not a bad –
I don't think the Eagles would be drafting him to be their number – like, the best player on their team.
No, that would it would be a piece. It would be a piece. Like, you're going to be a really good piece for us. And we're going
to – and you can draft Zach Harrison to be a piece. Yeah. You just can't draft him to be the
guy. I think a lot of people have to remember that not every first-round pick is supposed to be a star. A lot of them are pieces in a system. Now, if they especially become a star, they become a star. But,
But especially when you get out the top top 10, like – those guys are just good players. Like, they're just better than the other players, or they're more athletic, or they're faster, or there's something about them that makes you want to bet on them a little bit more than the other guy.
Yeah. I think most safeties and most defensive linemen are not going to be stars, like big, huge name stars. But then you'll go look at their numbers and be like, damn, why don't people talk about them more? It'd be something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like,
because it's a safety. And
yeah.
It's like your team needs them, but nobody cares about them. Like,
yeah, which is wild. I was a safety, so it's just crazy that we don't get.
It's like if I'm not good at my job, we're giving up touchdowns, but
all the time, all the time. We saw it. Tampa Bay against the Rams. Dude came up. What's the name took off, and that ended the game. So
shoot, we just saw it with Ohio State last year. Our starting safety got injured, and the guy that they tried to replace him with, one of which is no longer on the roster. So,
yep. So,
which is a funny side note because a lot of people were like, you know, some people hated him fine, and other people were like, oh, he's not that bad or whatever. But it's like my thing is like, he comes, we get a new coaching staff, and. He transfers. That shows what they thought of him.
Yeah. And what he thought, probably what he thought of that new coaching staff. He was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to see there.
Yeah, that's what he thought of his playing time. He said,
I might be out of here.
All right, so we're gonna take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about players that we're excited, and then try to answer some questions, just some overall questions about the Big Ten. So we will be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the I-70 Football Show. As always, I'm your host, Jordan. I'm here with my co-host, Dante. It's been a fun show so far. So let's talk about some individual players that we are excited to watch. I have four, you have three. So I'll go first, and then like we'll just go back and forth. Although one of them is the same. So
yeah, that's true. So.
My first one, I'm not even just going to talk about him a lot. I'm just going to say his name. My first one's C.J. Stroud. He started out like a 20-year-old who's never played Division I college football before. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the year, he was a really good player. He does some really good things that NFL teams like as far as touch, anticipation, some things like that. But he also has some things to grow on. He does not throw the best deep ball in the world. He's strong, but it's not always accurate. And that is something that NFL teams are going to want him to work on. I think he would have been better in the Heisman race if he didn't miss a game, especially because that game was against Akron, so he probably would have threw for 500 yards. But the biggest thing with him, ultimately, is two things. Is he going to, like, he is being talked about as the number one pick. That doesn't mean anything, though, because a lot of players get talked about at that, and then they don't get drafted. Can he solidify himself as an NFL prospect, one? And if he is the best quarterback in college football, which is possible, can he take his team to the national championship? I'm not saying win it, because there's a lot of factors that goes into winning.
Yeah,
but if you're the best, if you're the number one pick, if you're the best player in college football, well, best quarterback, because I think the best player in college football is Will Anderson at Alabama. If you're the best quarterback in college football, can you take your team to the national championship? I just want to see it. I would want to see it even if I wasn't an Ohio State fan, but I am, so I'm ultra invested. But yeah, that's all I have to say about him.
Yeah. My first one is Aiden O'Connell, and it's more about, like, how's his shoulder? Because, like, Purdue threw the ball a lot last year. And I mean games where it's like 40, 50 passes, and that's insane. So the reason why I'm excited to look at him is just because they lost that receiver to the draft. I guess it's more just a Purdue thing than it is him, but it is him because I want to see how he performs without having that really good security blanket that he had last year that he could definitely throw to, and he'll get 200 yards on his own. Can he help keep Purdue up? Can they do the exact same thing they did last year? Not maybe, but somewhere similar to that. Like, could they be ranked? Could they finish the season ranked? And if he finishes ranked, he might be in the Heisman talk, depending on his numbers.
Yeah, I think it depends on his numbers and how good Purdue does. His stats right now, he completed 71%.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's like, so he was good. He was really good. So I think that's interesting. And yeah, like you said, they're losing David Bell. I'm very interested to see what happens, because you
5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. That's almost Heisman talk.
I mean, if he did that for Alabama, he's winning the Heisman.
Yeah, yeah. He do that for Clemson, he winning the Heisman.
Yeah, so, no, I like that one. I think he's good. We'll see if Purdue has a running game, but.
Yeah, that's really what's going to have to help him, because I really don't want him throwing the ball 40-something times every game. Like, that's almost like pitcher-like. That's. That poor man's shoulder. Like I said, I was saying that all year. Like, how is his shoulder, and how is he able to keep this up? Because there's no way. There's no way.
So, here's another thing with him that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He is 6'3", 210.
Yes, he is.
If he has another good year, does he get drafted? I don't know about first round, but does he get drafted? Does he get into that conversation?
But yeah, because I feel like he should be in the conversation of
in the first round. Honestly, I mean,
because this is supposed to be a good quarterback, quarterback draft class. I think he can be a part of it.
I mean, if Will Levis is in that conversation, how is he? How can he not be in that conversation?
Yeah, no, and he would look good, but. I was the Eagles. If what's the name? Don't do nothing.
You know, like one of those teams that, like one of those teams that's in there. Like okay,
Minnesota would be perfect.
The Colts. Yes, he's a guy for the Colts because he may be the fifth or sixth quarterback taken in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're at pick 19, you're at pick 21, and he's still there, CJ's off the board, maybe Bryce is off the board, maybe Will Levis, like the guys that are flashier off the board, and he's still there. And you can get him at 19 or 20. You can sit him for a year.
He could be the steal. He could be the steal.
You know? So I always like to look at that because the NFL is so much about height. And if you have height and you have traits, and what do they say? What do they say in football and all sports? You can't teach height and you can't teach accuracy. He's 6'3", and he's through for 71%. Whatever other issues he has in his game – they probably will think that they can fit. Exactly.
And he's a confident player. I watch him Purdue games. He up here with it. He's very cocky, which is a good thing, especially for playing for Purdue. He gives me one of those, like, Phillip Rivers, where it's like, maybe he's good, maybe he's not, and then he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
And I was going to say, like, I mean, could he be Eli?
I think he could be better.
I'm glad I looked that up. I think that's a good one. Because for some reason, I'm thinking he's like 5'11 with a rocket. He's NFL-sized quarterback. Like
210, so, I go up to 215, put on a little muscle.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to take some hits. So
right. But maybe less if you don't get picked up until the 20th and you get to the Colts, one of them teams.
I forgot what's her name is actually pretty good for them. But I'll be like, he'd probably be good for the Patriots, but what's her name? Pretty good for them. I can't. It's too early. It's still too early.
Right.
I forgot he was a rookie last year. So.
Yeah, so, okay. So, my second guy, I don't have much to say about him either. It's Mo Ibrahim. Like, I will say it I will say it till I die. I think Mo Ibrahim was the best back in the country last year, and he got
him. Yeah,
I Kenneth Walker. I get Breece Hall. I get all those other people. I think Mo Ibrahim was the best running back in the country, and he got injured. I want to see him come back. And, you know, running backs or whatever, he's not going to be a first-round pick. None of that matters. He's going to be an exciting player. Yeah, he's going to be a very good player. And if he's healthy, can Minnesota finally win the West? Minnesota was so close without him.
Yeah. I want him to finish the year and then just get drafted because he'd be good for Jacksonville.
I mean,
he'd be really good for Jacksonville.
Yeah, there's not. I don't think there's a team in the NFL that wouldn't be happy about
it. Miami could use them. Seattle could use them.
If I was the Colts, I would have him be a supercharged backup and try to get what Cleveland has. Like, won't because you don't want to hurt Jonathan Taylor's feelings. But like, fuck it. Like,
well, I mean, you never know because you never know if you go up to Jonathan Taylor and be like, "Hey, yo, I want you to still be great, but I want to give some touches away so we can have you for a longer time." And we're gonna draft him. I feel like he'd be like, "No, I get it. Go ahead, let's do it." Yeah.
I would understand. Like,
you want me to play longer? I want to play longer. Let's do it.
Yeah. So
because like the Cowboys tried to do it, they did it a little too late because Zeke was already hurt by the time they tried to do it. But
yeah, if they would have had that earlier, maybe Zeke doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, I want him to finish the year. Because he could be on any team, and it worked. Even San Fran, because they look like they might have to give up Debo.
Yeah. San Fran hasn't had a true number one running back in years, probably since Frank Gore left.
Yep.
So if you give them, instead of that running back by committee, if you give them a real number one running back, come on.
And you like, never know. What's the name in for the Giants? Play for Penn State.
Saquon?
Yeah. He can't stay on the field. So
yeah, they need a new running back.
Yeah, he could go anywhere. He'd be a great pickup anywhere.
For sure.
Yeah. And my second, your third, Braylon Allen. Hold on, because I need to check his stats again.
Just know they're ridiculous.
I know.
While he's checking his stats, I would just like to remind everyone.
He was a freshman, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I would like to remind everyone that every game he ran for 100 yards, Wisconsin won.
Mm-hmm.
So, you.
Almost 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns, and he started hit. He got the job in the middle of the season, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't the starter.
He got the job in like week 3 or 4.
Yeah. And that's because of injuries.
Yeah.
He got injured too in the middle of the season and then came back. If I'm remembering that right. I think he missed a game, but I'm not sure.
I don't remember to be completely honest with you. So
hold on. See, ESPN sucks. You don't have games played? What is this?
It does. Hold on, it's cool. Let's see. Let's just see all. So Yeah, you have
to. He got one of the meanest stiff arms. Who's the running back for Tennessee for the Titans?
Derrick Henry.
He got a Derrick Henry stiff arm as a freshman.
Yeah, okay. He only played in 10 games. Lord. He really only played in 8.
Yep.
Because 2 of the 10 games, he had 7 attempts and 5 attempts. Those were early in the season in blowouts. One was a blowout win, one was a blowout loss.
So it was just garbage time and like giving him some reps.
Yeah, so in the 8 games that he... So he had 49 yards essentially in these 2 games. So in the 8 games that he got 1,200 yards, he essentially ran for 1,200 yards in 8 games.
Yeah, that's
he ran. He ran for 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Here, listen to this though. His last game of the season was a bad game. He had 17 rushing attempts. And he only rushed for 47 yards. So really, he rushed for 1,200 yards, 1,100 yards, and 11 touchdowns in 7 games. Because he had 2 games where he didn't play, and then he had 1 bad game. And he had 7 games where he played well, and those 7 games essentially gave him 1,100 yards and 11 touchdowns. Disgusting. As a freshman.
Because I remember that. I was like, because I saw one game, and I think he broke one. And they're like, the freshman. I was like, the who now? I was like, that's a grown man.
Are you sure that is a grown man?
It's a grown man because he threw somebody to the ground, bro. And it was good God.
Yes,
the bowl game was nasty.
You mentioned Derrick Henry, bro. He's 6'2", 238.
Nope.
He's Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? He ran for 159 yards in the bowl game, man. He was on my list. He's on your list. I'm really excited about him.
Same.
And he has 2 years left.
Like, yeah, because I know he took that job easily. This is my starting job, bro.
Yeah. And, oh, man, the Big Ten in general is going to be fun for running backs. We have Braylon Allen. We have Mo Ibrahim. We have Travion Henderson from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Like it's gonna be an interesting year. We have your guy who you're gonna get to from Illinois.
Yep.
So it's gonna be a fun year in the Big Ten for running backs. My last guy is Tua Tagovailoa. Anyone who's listened to this show consistently knows I'm a fan of his. Knows that I think he's gotten better every single year, every single game, and I think that. You know, he's at Maryland. They're not winning a lot, so he's not getting all of the hype that he should. But he has single-handedly won them some games. I mean, we talk about how much Aiden O'Connell threw the ball. He threw the ball more than Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what he's going to be, but I think he can be one of those guys. And I think he can be one of those guys that works himself into a second or third round draft pick. If he has an ungodly year, he could be a late round first. Because with quarterbacks, you only really need 1 year. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I was going to ask you that. Did you think he'd be a draft pick? Because of where he's at, so he's not winning many games. Like, what would have to be his year in stat line for you to think he'll make a first round pick?
First round? Okay.
Yeah, because you said late first round. You said he could if he had an ungodly. What's ungodly?
Okay. So last year he threw for 3,800 yards, 26 touchdowns, 11 interceptions on 69% completion.
That's not bad.
That's a great year. I thought he had more interceptions, to be completely honest.
Yes.
And he runs the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So... hold on.
Is he left-handed like his brother?
I don't. No, he's not.
No. Okay.
I don't think so. So his biggest issue is he's 5'11", 205.
Oh, and we were just talking about there's only one successful short quarterback.
I think he would have to throw for like 4,500 yards to be a first round pick because of the other guys coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna lie to you. If he was coming out this year, I may have liked him over some of the guys coming out this year.
That's fair.
To be completely honest.
That's fair. I still wouldn't have taken him over Pickett or
probably
what's his name? Yeah, but
which one?
Malik Willis.
I would have taken him over Malik Willis because he's a better passer than Malik Willis. He doesn't have the better arm, but he's a better passer. I mean, 69% completion percentage on almost 500 attempts.
That speaks for itself. But again, Malik Willis is what, 6'3"?
No.
He's taller than 5'11".
Barely. I think he's short. He's 6'1". He's 6'1", 215.
And
so he's still short by their standards, but taller than 5'11". That's 2 whole inches there. That matters.
Yeah. No, that matters a lot because who else is 6'1"? Phillip Rivers wasn't that tall.
No, I don't think
so. Eli Manning wasn't even that tall. Hold on.
Which is crazy because Peyton's like 6'5", isn't he?
I lied. Eli Manning's 6'5". Good God.
Yeah, because Peyton's tall too.
Is he really? They don't look tall. Those two men do not look tall. That's weird.
Really? Peyton looks tall. Not to me. Eli does it.
I don't know. They didn't look tall to me. But they're not going to show me his damn height.
I don't know. Peyton's 6'5", too.
Oh. Damn, he don't look that... They never looked that tall to me.
Yeah. I think in a draft with a lot of other good quarterbacks, I think he would have to, like, be top three in the Heisman, like, supernova. Yeah. I don't know if that'll happen, but I think if he has another year like this, he may sneak in. And then he has a good combine. He could sneak into a second or third round. I think he's probably a better quarterback overall than his brother. He's just not as Bama, and he's not.
But
he transferred because of Bryce Young.
Yeah,
which I mean, that seems like a smart decision. He wasn't gonna win that job, so he's gotten multiple years to win the job, and actually play and get tape. And things like that, where he wasn't going to get at Bama.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's a first-round pick. I think if he has a crazy year, some team may take a risk on him if they really, really needed it. But again, he's 5'11". That's his biggest problem.
Yeah.
Get stained by his brother.
Yeah.
Just true.
Yeah.
Sometimes your brother lifts you up. Sometimes your brother pushes you down.
Because that was the same thing that happened with Derek Carr. His brother.
Nobody likes him because of his brother.
I think that's not fair too, because his brother played in Houston, and Houston has been an unserious franchise since they became one.
Literally, have they ever been serious?
No. The only time they were serious is when they drafted J.J. Watt, and then were unserious when they didn't help him.
Oilers, didn't they have the black quarterback? What's his name? It's not Warren Moon. One did they have?
It is Warren Moon. It is.
So they are a partially serious franchise for a year or two.
But the Houston Oilers are somebody. That was a team that just got moved. That don't even count for the Houston Texans history.
Oh, no, they're a very unserious franchise. Yeah. Who are the Houston Oilers?
Now I need to know. Who did the Houston Oilers?
Are they the Tennessee Titans?
Yep, yes.
They are the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. First of all, I just pulled up because their name came up. Some of their old school like jackets and stuff are crazy. I might have to get me one of these. I'm gonna send you a picture of it. So you know what I'm talking about. I might have to.
The Houston Texans are a brand new franchise.
Man. They've never been a serious franchise.
Because I think the Houston Texans became a thing in 2003.
Oh yeah, there was expansion in our lifetime.
Yes.
We're just kind of young and don't remember it.
Yeah, not at all.
Can you believe the NBA hasn't expanded yet?
They're not going to.
They have to.
I don't know, because people keep begging, and I mean begging, for Seattle to get a team.
They have to. They have to expand.
I agree. Hey, yo, no, this jacket is dope. Hold up.
I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not. That's fine.
I'm not spending $125 on it, but.
I'm going to spend it. I'm gonna spend it. When you see me in that this fall, just know. Just know.
I spent it. I spent a bag on that jacket. No, I don't blame you. Because I think the Houston Texans have only been serious when they drafted Hopkins, J.J. Watt, and then Deshaun.
And then they ruined that.
Yeah, because they were unserious right after. Like, seriously, yeah. Right after. So, yeah. Like, they were only serious for maybe 5 minutes.
Yep, because, I mean, I understand winning a Super Bowl is hard, but have they ever won a playoff game?
I don't know if they've even made the playoffs.
Had one of the best, like, they've had one. Honestly, okay, let's talk about it. J.J. Watt, surefire Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Is Hopkins. Maybe not surefire, but he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay. I can see that he could. If he doesn't become one, I can understand. But I do think he is one.
Okay. Deshaun. He's still young. Because he's the youngest one. But he could be.
Yes, he could be. He definitely has the talent.
So they had 2.5 Hall of Famers, and I give them the half because either Deshaun or Hopkins may not get it. They had 2.5 Hall of Famers on that team, and they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't even get to the playoffs. Unserious franchise.
Yeah, I'm trying to look here. I don't think they've ever made the playoffs at all. I don't think so. They've made the playoffs 6 times in 20 seasons.
Ooh.
The past 10 seasons, though, they've made the playoffs 5 times. And they've won 3 playoff games. Huh.
When did they win a playoff
game? That had to have been Deshaun. I don't know. But that had to have been all Deshaun Watson. Because I don't remember. It had to have been like they had to be Tennessee.
Like his rookie year.
They had to be like a team that made the playoffs and you're like, they shouldn't have been there in the first place. It had to have been that because I don't remember them making the playoffs.
Well, okay, I remember they made it at least once because they won the AFC South once. They had like a random good year and they won AFC South.
You're right, I do.
Yeah, when was that? Now. Like, I don't remember.
They might have been like in 2015.
Like 2015? Yeah, like 7 years ago.
It's back been when
JJ had like back-to-back.
Oh my God. Injuries. Right. Every time I'm like, JJ, it's okay to quit. Like
you already have the Hall of Fame career, bro.
Yeah, like, bro. Your body is telling you something at this point.
Yeah. Okay. So,
20 seasons. So they came on 2001, 2002.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Non-serious franchise.
at all. My last one is Josh McCray. Why did I say that? So I have to make sure I knew what I was talking about. And I typed in the wrong. God damn that. Oh, yeah. Illinois. They're running back. Oh, yeah. Because he was good. So that's right. Yeah. I had to remember. They need 240. 6'1", 240.
Good Lord. Is he?
Yeah.
God, that's a big boy.
Huge. Jesus Christ.
That's a big boy.
Jerome Bettis.
I know I keep trying to get guys in the Colts, but we'll take him. We don't have a guy like that.
We got a little guy. He's little.
Yeah, we have a little guy, and he's like a great scat back, slot receiver type. He's a dog. He's really good. Mm-hmm. We need that third down guy, get a couple yards. Yeah.
What's his stats?
Brandon Jacobs type guy.
Yeah, but he's on my because again I'm. I think Illinois might be a sleeper team, and I said that last year, and I think they might be even a better sleeper team. And he was pretty good. He was pretty good in a few games he played because he's a freshman. He's a freshman as well, and he only had 100 attempts. It's almost 600 yards.
But he came on late.
He came on late.
So I will say this way too early.
I'm
telling you, there is very little chance I do not have Illinois as a bowl team when we do our tiers.
Oh yeah.
Like for those of you who are new to this, thank you for being new, but we predict every single Big Ten game. Every single one. Right. And we keep a record of every single one. And I'm telling you, and then we rank the team in the tiers. I'm telling you now, there's very slight chance I do not have Illinois at least at 6 wins. They're a team that I still don't want to play. I didn't want to play them last year. But now another year with their coach, they have a couple of guys who you're starting to name, like the running back, things like that. So.
And I don't think any team in the Big Ten really wants to go up against – it's not a break anymore.
It's one of those things like you lost the fight, but look at the guy. He got a black eye. Like he's limping away. Like
it's like the Penn State, like that Penn State game. That was a struggle. Yeah, and I think like they won that game.
But Penn State, Illinois did win that game, right?
Illinois won that game, and they went into nine overtimes. They gonna grind you out. They gonna
you may win the game, but you're gonna leave bloodied.
Yeah, you lost that war.
For real. Especially because that's a game that it's like you don't want to play Illinois before you have like a big game.
No,
just use Ohio State.
That's exactly what happened to Penn State. Yeah,
Ohio State doesn't play Illinois, but just for an example, you don't want to play Illinois the week before you have to play Michigan. like the week before you have to play Penn State. Like you don't want to play them before you play a good team because they're gonna beat you up.
And they got a win over Minnesota last year as well. So
yeah, at Minnesota. A good
team. So that's there. I think he's going to be a big part of that. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. And since he's going to be his second year, I think he might crack the 1,000-yard mark. I think he might have like 7 touchdowns, like something like that.
Yeah. For a type of year. Pretty good season. There's a lot of good running backs in the Big Ten for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, it's a Big Ten podcast. I don't want to only talk about Ohio State. I could have put Travion Henderson on here as a young running back. Like, there are a lot of guys. So we're going to skip this segment and we're going to move it to next week just because we're already at an hour and 30 minutes and we're going to need some things to talk about. So let's go ahead and get to our pit stops. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I can get mine out of the way because mine's not that big of a deal. I just think, my pit stop is the NBA playoffs, and I've been enjoying them because I think next week my pit stop is probably going to be the NBA playoffs because the one thing I don't understand is like everybody saying that it's boring because LeBron's not in it, but I'll get into that next week. It's got to be the craziest of riding, but
hold on. Jordan Poole. It's not making the playoffs interesting. Like you need.
I don't have.
Okay.
John Morant.
They lost, but you watched Anthony Edwards in his first playoff game, and you're not entertained. Like, what? Okay. All right. You know what? This is why I hate telling people I'm a LeBron fan sometimes because people think I'm that kind of a LeBron fan, and it's like I ride for LeBron, but like not. I think, I think LeBron's better than Jordan. You can hate me for that. But I can watch basketball without LeBron.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you're saying, like, you can't watch these playoffs because he's not there, you're a weirdo. But, you're a weirdo, easily. But by my original point is that, like, so one of the things is that, like, everybody was, like, really, like, praising Boston for how physical their defense has been because it's been physical against the Bucks and they were physical against the Nets and it stifled Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant's small and they bullied him. I'm not gonna lie. I think Kevin Durant's one of the greatest players ever, but he when you put a body on him and you put more than one. It's shown that he's not that strong. He's not strong. That's why I was like,
he was so good. For the Warriors, because you couldn't put a body on him.
You couldn't put more than one body on him. And, like, so when people bring up, like, 2018 and LeBron was able to pass him, well, LeBron's 250. That's why it's the same thing with Giannis. It's like they're doing the exact same thing to Giannis, but Giannis is 250. Yeah. And he's strong. So it's those same fans who praised Boston's physicalness and then mad at Giannis for his physicalness. That's weird to me because it's like, well, if you're going to play physical defense against me, I have to play physical offense. And my one thing is that this is why I've really been enjoying the playoffs is because this is one of the most physical playoffs since maybe 2010.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean, there's a good chance that we're going to get Giannis versus the Heat.
Oh my God. Which is crazy because he's already in a bar fight with Boston.
Like, that's going
to be crazy. I wouldn't even say the most physical, they're not even a physical imposing team. Warriors playing physical.
Yeah.
They play physical, and they're playing physical on offense. So, and like, the only team that I don't think, I'll still say it. I don't think the Grizzlies are playing physical. They're a physical team. They play great defense, but it's not physical. That's why the Warriors are able to get as many shots as they want to. For real. So they're the only team that's not physical.
Ja is just not good
at defense. Bruh. Hey, look, I'll tell you this. Ja and Luka are getting whoever offense every game, and it's almost embarrassing to watch.
I will say this. The Grizzlies are lucky that this was the first year. Literally, the Timberwolves are the Grizzlies last year. They needed another year. They couldn't put it together. That has been. If they had anyone with real experience, they're winning that series in five.
Yeah, like,
because if D'Angelo Russell wouldn't have just crapped the bed. Like, if he would have just been D'Angelo Russell.
We were saying that the Timberwolves were the better team. Yeah. By far. Every time I watched those games, I was like,
D'Angelo Russell were killing Ja. Anytime they wanted a buck, and that's why some of those late, like those late closing minutes, it's just they were young. Their coach is young. I don't know if he's young in age.
That was Cat's second time in the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's like and the first time he didn't like nobody on the team.
He was his softest. So
yeah, I will say this because I'm a big Cat fan. I do think next year he'll be better in the playoffs too, because I think next year won't be so much of a redemption for him. I think he got a little cocky at times because people don't like him, and so he tried to do some things that weren't him, with like the talking back and that kind of stuff. And I think,
which,
like,
I still comfortable,
yeah, I like too. I think it was a little too much. Like where it was getting him
it
out
seemed,
of his game.
It seemed forced. I get what you mean.
Yeah, where it was getting him out of his game a little bit.
Yeah.
I think once he's a little bit more comfortable in himself and people aren't just like crapping on him all the time, he's just going to get that for some reason. Like, Devin Booker still gets crapped on. Some players, people just don't like.
Well, Devin Booker brought that on himself. Because remember, the mascot incident earlier this year where he was getting upset that the mascot was trying to mess up his free throw.
Because Devin Booker was also the one that was like, this is
summer, bro, while we double teaming. he brought that on himself. Yeah. And then you could tell by you could tell that Devin Booker's been influenced by Chris Paul. He flops a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that, but even then, the last game they played, when it was the fourth quarter and it was Chris Paul was like, come here, Luka, let me kill you. And then they sat Chris Paul and Devin Booker was like, come here, Luka, let me do it. And like, it was nasty because Chris Paul would do it with a layup or a mid-range shot. And Devin Booker was like, bruh, I'm going to just take three straight threes in a row. And they're like, timeout. Yeah.
That's the thing, that, like, you have levied very honest criticism of LeBron's defense recently. Mm-hmm. And while I have disagreed throughout his career that he hasn't had and have been above average defender recently, whatever, Luka has never been an above average defender. And that's why I love, like, I think the Luka LeBron comparisons are interesting, because, like, LeBron has LeBron has never, in my opinion, been the best defender on his team. And if LeBron is your best defender, like, you probably don't have a good defense. Like, let's be honest, that's not his game. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But Luka can't play defense.
No. And that's why I think those comparisons, when people compare players, unless they're a defensive stouted player, like if you compare somebody to Scottie Pippen, you're comparing a defense. But whenever you compare somebody to LeBron, it's always going to be an offensive thing. It's always going to be that. Yeah.
Right. And it's I just think it's funny because it took until year 19 for people to single out LeBron. Like, and what I mean by people is I mean like non-Kobe level players.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
this year, people like, singled
like,
out LeBron,
like Devin Bane for the Grizzlies, one on one him. He was like, oh, I got LeBron on me, all right, bet. Like,
but you were doing that 5 years ago.
No, like when Cameron Payne is looking for you.
That says something about where you're at in your career.
Yeah, that says something. When players like that are looking for you to, like, oh, I got LeBron on me, bet. Everybody move. Yeah, that's a problem. When Tim Hardaway Jr. is doing it, that's a problem. Yeah. There's a problem there.
Speaking of, because I forgot the playoffs were on, even though it's a Sunday, which is weird. I just turned on the game. Luka is up 14 on the Suns. So this is going to be 2-2.
That won't last long. Yeah. I don't think it will last long. Because the same thing happened the last time. The Dallas went up big, and then the finished quarter, it was Chris Paul and Devin Booker.
The game's over. There's 40 seconds left.
Holy crap, that game. Wouldn't that game come on? Like 4?
I don't know. I don't know. The game's over, so.
No, so they're going to take a... So
it's going to be 2-2.
Is it? You sure that's not 3-1?
No, it's 2-2. I have it up right now. Phoenix leads 2-1.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So that's
going to be one both games and at Dallas.
I think so, yeah.
And then I think
that's going to be a more interesting series than I thought it was going to be.
Same, because I thought this might have been a 4-1.
Yeah. Is Devin Booker still hurt? Or was it – who was it that got – Devin Booker got hurt, right?
Did he?
He got hurt in the first round, right? And so did Luka.
Yeah, but Devin Booker's been playing. Devin Booker's been back.
Yeah.
Because he played the last game. Yeah, he played the last game.
And Luka's playing. So this is good versus good. So there's no excuses. I don't know. Maybe Luka gets it done.
Damn, Luka only had 26 points. So this was a whole team thing.
Yeah. Well, because Jalen Brunson's been balling.
Yeah, and I don't know how long that'll really last because he didn't ball those first two games. And Jalen Brunson had some bad games in the first round. So I don't know how long that'll last. And then, like, I'll give you Jalen Brunson might have a good game. Luka got a bad game coming. He always has one or two.
This next game.
Yeah, because there's a game he might shoot, like, four. He might shoot really, really bad from the free throw line and, like, really, really bad from the three-point line. He had a bad game this year. This game. 9 for 25 is not good. That is terrible shooting percentage. But he had 11 assists, so there's that.
That happened. Yeah. So to wrap up the show, my pit stop is this, and we've alluded to it, and we kind of mentioned it just in natural conversation. Right. A lot of people are saying that Bryce Young is a better quarterback than CJ Stroud. I disagree, but as far as a college quarterback, whatever, he won the Heisman, he's good. But what people forget is NFL teams don't like short quarterbacks, and they've talked about him a lot as the number one pick and things like that. I do think he's a good quarterback, though. Mm-hmm. So my question is just simply this. Will NFL teams like Bryce Young enough to ignore his height and weight? He's 5'11", 6', 190. I don't think he's the first quarterback taken. But the thing that we have to talk about, and maybe we already mentioned this on the recording, I don't remember, as things came up, there's only been one really successful quarterback that's been short, and it's been Drew Brees. Russell Wilson has been successful, but his success has not come in the pocket. His success has come because the dude is like 5'11", 230. You can't tackle him. He's good on the run. He's tough as nails. But the thing with him...
And he's really strong in that lower base. Yeah. He has a really strong base. So,
which is not the same for him. Like,
no, not even a little bit.
So, like, you know, like Russell, he would still be short, but like he could be a linebacker. Like, he's built like a linebacker.
And the one thing about Bryce is that he don't want to run.
No. And nor is he going to want to take those hits. You can hit Russ. Like, I'm not afraid of Russ getting hit because he's big.
Russ has had a few injuries from time to time. I was going to say with Russ is that the more hits he take, because we've seen it the past, I want to say 4 or 5 years now. Have a really good start.
But, okay. All right.
That's pretty much Kyler Murray.
That's a mentality thing. I'm not afraid of Russ getting hit because of his size. Gotcha. Like, I'm not afraid of a corner or a safety or linebackers hitting him. No. I'm afraid of anyone getting hit by a defensive end because they're huge.
Yeah.
I would be afraid of some corner. Like, I don't want Jalen Ramsey hitting Bryce Young. That's the difference.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
That's what I mean.
Because even the Honey Badger's not even that big. And
no.
I don't want him hitting him either.
So, I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a good college quarterback. I think he'll be in the Heisman conversation again. But when you talk about the draft, which is what everyone's goal, I just wonder if NFL teams will like him enough to take him as the first, as the second or third quarterback.
Jalen Hurts got drafted. Jalen Hurts got drafted, bro.
Yeah, but Jalen Hurts is more Russ than he is. Jalen Hurts is a big dude. Like,
yeah, no, Jalen Hurts is a big dude. But I tell you right now, yes, he will.
Was he a first round pick? I don't remember. I feel like he wasn't. I feel like he was a second round pick, though.
I don't know how to spell his name wrong.
Jalen Hurts is also 6'1". Like, he's over the 6 foot threshold. Bryce Young
is a second round pick. He was a second round pick.
Bryce Young is probably actually 5'11".
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Jalen Hurts is 6'1", 223. He's even bigger than Russ.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was 223. He don't look that at all. That's what I was. Yeah, not to me.
He's kind of big to me.
No, he looked big, but I didn't think he was 223 big.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, he carries his weight. And like, he carries his weight.
Differently.
Yeah. Because they say Russ, they have Russ at 5'11", 215. So, yeah, he's bigger than Russ.
He by a long shot, actually.
Yeah. But, like, Bryce Young is never going to be 215. So, I don't know. I just think when we talk about college, people forget that most, not all, but most NFL teams have a height and weight threshold. And Bryce Young is not going to reach that. So, no, I think it's just going to be interesting.
I do still think he'll get drafted, though. I do still think he'll get drafted. He might be a second, third round pick, though.
Yeah, if he gets drafted in the first round, and I know we're not NFL, like, you know, which teams do you think would take him, though? Like, which teams, like, the Colts would never take him. He's not going to meet their threshold.
It'd be
the
a Browns stupid
are
going
to need a quarterback. Would the Cardinals want to get rid of Kyler Murray and then draft another Kyler Murray? Would the Giants, maybe?
The Giants? I can see the Giants doing it.
But they have a new coaches, and I don't know how. They also have the coaches who just had Josh Allen. So are they going to want to go from Josh Allen to him?
Yeah, I can see.
With the Texans? Like, okay, let's say the Texans.
I can see the Texans doing it. Yeah.
Let's say the Texans don't have the first pick, and so someone already has CJ Stroud.
You know what's crazy? I can see the Dolphins doing it.
That would be hilarious. After they just complained about Tua.
I can see them doing it.
I don't know.
If I was gonna say maybe the Jets, but I can't say the Jets because the Jets had one of the best drafts.
Yeah,
they've had in a while, and I think they're going a different way. I don't think they're being dumb anymore.
Yeah, so I mean, their quarterback still sucks, which was
But I'm not drafting Jalen. I'm not drafting Bryce if I'm the Jets.
I think I would take Bryce over Zach. But after having Zach, I don't think I'm.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, after having him, I'm not drafting Bryce. Yeah. So I do think a team will do it, but the Steelers, I don't know.
The Steelers aren't doing small quarterbacks.
No. We nobody.
Panthers
do that in a big.
Panthers would.
They're a stupid team. You're right. Yeah.
Oh, I hate that. That's the qualifier, but yeah. Because he's a good player. He's just tiny.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because hold on, how big is Kyler Murray? Because I think he weighs less than Kyler Murray, which is weird. He has a height on him, but Kyler Murray's 207.
Is he really?
Yeah, that's what it says. That's what it says.
What
it
says the hell? Oh, Kyler.
It says he's 207. It says he's 5'10".
He almost 210 pounds? That's crazy.
I don't know if Bryce Young can get to 207. So
if somebody, bro, if he gets a nutritionist and told them, and somebody told him, you need to eat like this, I think he could. Because he will have his calorie intake will almost have to triple. Yeah. Which is crazy.
He'd have to eat so much he doesn't enjoy eating anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, y'all paying me millions of dollars to eat. So
that's what it would be. It would have to be something like that. Wow, I did not know Kyler Murray was still. He wasn't that in Oklahoma. There was no way. He was 200 pounds.
He was 200 pounds. Yeah, he was.
At Oklahoma?
Yeah, he was.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, there's just no other way to say it. He's thick, Pauls. Like, he's short, but he's like, I didn't have another way to describe it.
Yeah, no,
like,
I get you. It's gotta be, and that's crazy to me, because like every time I've watched the Cardinals game, I'm like, bro, he looks small all over the place. Like, he just looks little, but I guess it's just the TV.
It's the TV, and he has on pads. And when you put him next to a 6'5" guy, like,
because like when he's in the huddle,
again, I don't pause. But if you see him in a baseball uniform, like, he wouldn't be. He doesn't look as small,
right?
But when you put him in full pads, and then you put him next to
you, a 6'7", 300 pounds. I do give you that, because baseball players are bigger. Like, baseball players are pretty big, and he did play baseball. So I'll give – all right, that's fair. Yeah. Now I'm not that surprised that he was 200 pounds because he played baseball. Yeah. I got to keep remembering that. I do still think Bryce could get to 200 pounds. He'll just have to do it in the league. He's not going to do it in college. It's not going to happen in college. Because unless when the season starts and I go, he look like he gained weight.
Other than that – We'll see for sure. Yeah. But no, so that's my pit stop. I think he's a good quarterback. There are going to be some people that think I hate Bryce Young, and it's really going to be because I'm going to have to defend CJ Stroud against him, because the ESPN media machine has already hyped up Bryce Young to ridiculous amounts, and I'm going to feel like I have to defend CJ Stroud and some of the other guys. I'm telling you now, I do not dislike Bryce Young. I just think he's going to be overhyped, and I think that'll show in the NFL process. But this is going to be really the last time we talk about the NFL until the draft comes around, because like me and Dante will talk about the NFL as NFL, but we won't talk about college players as NFL
until
that starts happening. So people are going to forget that, like, Bryce Young's ultimate goal is to get to the NFL, and he's not an NFL-type quarterback yet.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
Yeah. And they just might – talk about him changing his position and becoming like a slot receiver.
I mean, he's a slot, which he's is a slot receiver type. But.
Yeah, which is weird, because he has not shown me any evidence that he has that athletic ability to do that.
But like he's the smallest of the small quarterback. Because isn't Baker 200 pounds?
Easily. But I think that's because he's in the league now, and he's been in the league for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Baker was in college.
Me neither.
Baker's also 6'1", which I somehow forget about. This NFL.com says Baker's 6'1", 215.
I can believe that.
So he has an inch or two and 20 pounds.
He only has 1 inch over
I think Bryce Young is actually 5'11".
And I also think Baker is 5'11", so.
Okay. All right. But wait. Don't NFL teams not lie? Because Hold on. Because they have to give your height at the combine. So even if they lie,
not everybody goes there. But they still
the combine though.
Yeah, but like so do NBA players. And
yeah, but their height, but the combine has their official height.
So does the NBA combine. So I'll tell you like this. How tall do you think Kevin Durant is? Like, off just from you thinking.
6'9".
He is 7 feet tall.
Is he actually?
Yes! Yes! <Okay. laughs> Kevin Durant's 7 feet tall. How tall do you think Giannis is? You think Kevin... Hold on, I'm sorry. You think Kevin Durant is the same height as LeBron James?
Hold on, no. So, okay, I thought Kevin Durant was lying about his height. So no, he's a true seven-footer.
Yeah, the NBA is lying about his height. They're saying he's shorter than what he is. They say he's 16. He is 7 feet.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Kevin Durant is the opposite. Durant's the opposite, yeah. Where they say he's shorter than he actually is. No, yeah. Baker Mayfield at the combine weighed in at 6'1", 215.
Really?
At the combine. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Because I still think that might not be true. but that's just me. I don't think he's that tall.
That's what he weighed in at the combine. And we forget the combine heights and weights, and they do think, but that's, I think if that's what he weighed in at the combine, that's what he is.
Okay. Because here's my thing. Because I think at the combine, they said the same thing. Because I think they said, because now it's probably correct, but I think at the combine, Russell Wilson was 6 feet, and he's definitely not that. 5'11". I know he I knew he was 5'11", but I think there's been times he was listed at 6 feet tall, and I'm like, no, that's not it. That's not true at all.
I'm trying to find his combine stats.
Hold on. I don't know where Russell Wilson's from, but he was born in Cincinnati.
Nope. In the combine, Russell weighed in at 5'11".
I've seen him listed at 6 feet a few times.
He probably has been, but the combine.
Well, I had him at 5'11".
He is not 6 foot. Yeah, Baker Mayfield is actually 6'1". Okay.
I don't know where he was
born. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it says born in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna wrap up. We're at an hour.
To that white woman.
Yeah. See, this is we. Once we get to an hour and 50, Dante just starts saying stuff. I'm trying to wrap up.
My bad. All
right, y'all. Thank you for traveling I-70 with us this week. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a 5-star review and mention Dante and I. You can find me on Twitter at JordanW330. Dante, where can they find you?
Tell me happy belated birthday at Dante M10216.
All right, thanks, y'all. We'll see y'all next week.